Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, there is a sense of great joy that comes with being a father that mere words can really and truly not be able to explain. Whenever a child is born, to be able to hold that child for the first time, there's nothing that can even come close to that wonderful and amazing experience. And then in like figure, whenever we are able to have an impact upon our children's lives, to be able to speak to them in ways that would encourage them, to be able to direct them in ways that would lead them to be able to be a productive person in life, is such an amazing way in which God has given us as fathers to be able to experience while we are here. To watch them and to guide our children as they grow is a marvelous experience. Christian fathers love their children. And as Christian fathers, we need to make certain that we always express our love towards our children. There are individuals who are from the old school that have a problem from time to time telling their children that they love them. They will show them, but yet at the same time to verbally say to their children that they love them, they find that to be a challenge. I will tell you, I'm not from the old school. And I want to encourage you also not to be, to make certain that you express and along with that, that you continually demonstrate to your children how much they mean to you, how dear they are to you, how much you love them. And then also, Christian fathers, we do all that we can to raise our children. We need to raise them in the Lord. We need to raise them in a way that will please God. We need to raise them in a way that will be beneficial for the family. But also, we need to raise them in a way that the Lord's church will be benefited from generation throughout generation because of the impact that we have been able to have upon our children. And when we raise our children in a fitting way, in a proper way that lines up with the will of God, not only will we make them pleasing and acceptable to God, but also we will be well on our way of raising children to be productive citizens here in this world. Real fathers have a genuine care for their children and also a concern for each and every child. The Apostle Paul, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, referred to himself as a spiritual father, if you would, in his dealings with the saints in Thessalonica. And from the context here, Paul reveals three things that I believe are very essential for us as fathers, as Christian fathers, as we would look to our role and responsibility in the home in raising our children. To begin with, what do we learn about the Apostle Paul? If you consider all that is said in the New Testament Scripture about this man, I believe that Paul serves as an example of what true conversion is really and truly all about. When he understood what God requires a man to do in order for his sins to be forgiven, I believe that initially Paul tarried. He was hesitant, but yet at the same time, when he fully came to understand what God expected of him and that the past life that he had been living was in conflict to what God would have him to, the way in which God would have him to live, he was willing to repent of that and also then to be baptized. As you look to this man's life after his baptism, after his sins are forgiven, we understand is that he demonstrated true godly repentance. He turned away from his old way of life and he embraced living a Christ-like life even unto the end, in that Paul lived faithful even until the point of death. This man died for the cause of Christ. We understand as we explore the life and teachings of the Apostle Paul that he was always out there putting himself on the line. He was putting himself on the line for what it was that he had become a part of. He was now a Christian, and he put himself on the line because he believed 100% who Jesus Christ was, and he also believed in the cause of Christ to go forward and to make other disciples. And as a result of that, this man suffered persecution in so many different ways. He suffered physical pain because of his love and commitment, devotion to the Lord. But I believe also this man suffered mental anguish. People put him through so many different things that it's hard for us to imagine. Why did he go through these things? Because he loved the Lord and he wanted so much to be able to help lead people unto salvation. Paul traveled abroad. He went forth on 3 missionary journeys and likely 2 journeys to Rome and who knows where else that we do not have recorded in the Scripture. And why did he go to all these different places? Good people, because he wanted to be able to reach every individual that he could possibly reach with a message about the saving grace that God extends unto mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only did he personally travel abroad, but he also worked with teams hoping to evangelize as many people that they possibly could, and then in like figure, Paul worked to train others to preach Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of this was centered in and around the souls of others. He knew that without these individuals understanding God's charge to them, and the same charge that had been proclaimed to him and by Ananias and others along the way, is that these individuals would die lost outside of Christ. And Paul could not fathom, Paul could not stomach, if you would, that thought of individuals being lost and not having heard the gospel. And for that reason, he went forward. Paul was indeed a great spiritual father because of all that he represented in his life. He was a father, if you would, spiritual father to those in Thessalonica. Also, he refers to himself as such in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, to the saints in Corinth. And he also identified himself as a spiritual father, if you would, to Timothy and also then to Titus. As a spiritual father, we would see is that Paul understood the importance of the works that he had done in and amongst the individuals that he was involved in. He worked diligently. The context of Scripture says night and day. Well, what is the term there, night and day? What's he trying to express to us is that he worked endlessly. And of course, in the context, the reason that he worked endlessly is so that he would not be a burden to anyone, so that some could not come back and say that others had paid his way, or so that in all that this would not hinder him in being able to be beneficial to these brethren, to these individuals about proclaiming the Word of God. But as we would take and relate this over to the spiritual fathers or to the Christian fathers that you and I are aspiring to be, you and I, as fathers, need to work diligently to provide for our family endlessly. Why? Because we love them. And our family needs to know that we are willing to work endlessly, that we're willing to go in early in the morning and to work all hours of the day and in through the night, even if we have to, because we love them, because we have a concern for their physical well-being. And why do we do this? Because we want to give them what is necessary. And fathers, I know that you can relate with me. We also want to give them some comforts of life. And that's why we work diligently to provide for our families. And a Christian father also then will take great pride in all that he does. He's always doing his work to the best of his ability, always putting his best foot forward. Why? Because, number one, he ought to want to please his employer, the one who has given him a job. It ought to be our desire to put our best foot forward, to be productive for that employer who has put themselves on the line to give us this opportunity to provide for our families. But also, though, we do this so that we might be able to glorify our God. Every facet of our life, even whenever it comes to our work, being able to provide for our family, you and I need to make certain that our goal is always to glorify God. But I think also there's a third thing that we need to consider in regard to taking great pride in our work as fathers, is that we want our families to be proud of us. We want our families to say, you know, my dad was or my dad is a hard working individual. And that means a lot to families. And then in like figures, we work hard and our families come to understand this and to appreciate us for such. And we're also being an influence to these individuals as they would grow and go out into the workplace. A father, a Christian father, realizes his God-given responsibilities. He understands that the family depends upon him. The Scripture tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And I know the context there is speaking in reference to individuals who likely had stopped working because they were anticipating the return of the Lord, and they become they had gotten to the point to where they were living off the rest of the brethren and becoming a burden. And Paul says that you've got to enforce that these individuals get back to work. But yet at the same time, I think that we can apply the principle to the fact that if people do not work today, is that they oftentimes will go hungry. And not only will they go hungry, their family will also go hungry. And therefore, it is essential for a father, Christian fathers, that we understand the importance of working, the responsibility that God has given us, that our family is there and depends on us. But also, as Christian fathers, I want us to understand, and I trust that really and truly most do, is that someday we will be judged by our God as to whether or not we have followed through with our responsibility. The Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 that if a man will not provide for his own, those who are of his household, is what I would understand in the context, the immediate context, he's worse than an infidel, worse than a disbeliever. While it is important, it is essential for us to work, to labor out here in the world, to be able to provide for our family's physical needs, men, let's also understand that we need to work above all to lead our family spiritually, to make certain that we are doing what we can to raise them in a way that will lead them to the Lord. We need to be husbands that will lead our wife to the Lord, that we might be able to not only stand before God faithful as one of His faithful children ourselves, but also that our wife in like figure, based out of the example that we have set before them, as well as the instructions that we have given unto them, that we have helped to encourage them and to lead them according to the way of God and to faithful living. But also then, whenever it comes to our children, we need to do all that we can to raise our children in the Lord and to raise them in a way that not only will God be pleased with us, but also to raise them in such a way that the seed is sown concerning what God wants them to do in their life in order to glorify Him. And when they are old, the Scripture tells us that they will not depart from that. That is that we have sown that seed, and that seed is always there with them throughout the course of their life. It is so important for you and me as Christian fathers to work to provide for our families physically, but also to provide for our families spiritually. And we need to encourage our families then to walk worthy of the calling that God has called them unto. And Paul actually states into the context here with those that he considered his children in Thessalonica, that they were to walk worthy of the calling of which they had been called. He also told those at Ephesus that they needed to walk worthy of the calling of which they had been called. And you and I know as Christians that we are called through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And we are called unto the gospel of Christ, and we put Christ on in baptism. And now we are to walk in a worthy, acceptable manner always before God. And if we lay that before our families, men, we also then have a responsibility to walk worthy of that same calling or charge that we're expecting them to live up to in their life. Christian fathers should desire righteousness, not the righteousness that the world offers, not self-righteousness, but rather that we need to seek after, we need to desire the righteousness of God. And we need to study God's Word on a daily basis and to understand what true biblical righteousness is all about, and then to do what we can to apply it to our life. We need to live a life that is committed. And that's what walking worthy of the calling is really and truly all about. As we look in regard to what God expects of us in walking worthy, how do we accomplish this? We should strive each and every day to live our lives in a holy manner. That is, to apply the teachings to our life that we find in regard to God. And therefore, we need to do what we can to be God-like, to find people ought to be able to find God-like characteristics in our life, to where we are honest, to where we are upright, to where we are a good moral and ethical people as we dwell here within this world. And not only should the world see that, the family that we are seeking to raise according to God's standards as well, these these people will also see it. We need to live according to God's divine will. And Jesus is our example in all things, but whenever it comes to the will of the Father, remember Jesus was always speaking about the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to live according to the will of the Father. He came to die according to the will of the Father. In fact, there at Mount Olive, as He was getting ready to die, He prayed, "Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." He understood that the will of God was even bigger than His desire to stay here from a physical standpoint. And fathers, you and I need to put God's will number one in our lives. The Christian father ought to be the righteous example to every person that they come in contact with. We need to live in a righteous way before our family, and they need to know that it's more than a Sunday event. They need to know that it's more than something that we talk about. They need to see righteousness, true righteousness in our life. But also then we're obligated not only to live in a righteous manner before our family, we need to live in a righteous way before our brothers and sisters in Christ, before the brotherhood even. And in so doing, then it will become characteristic of really and truly who we are. And the world will see that we are very serious about living in a righteous way. We need to do our best to live in a way where that we are blameless before the world. And whenever I say that we're blameless, oftentimes people will say, "Are you saying that we've got to be perfect?" Absolutely not. We need to strive for perfection and realize that our perfection is really and truly only in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And in this then, as we're striving for perfection and always realizing that we're constantly in need of the cleansing of the blood of Christ, then with all of those things in place, we're doing what we can to where we're striving to live righteous before God, to where if people try to find fault in our life, they might be able to make an accusation, but still that accusation does not stand. Why? Because we are doing what God commands us to do. And those past things that they might bring up, they're behind us and covered through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fathers, let's do our best to walk in a godly way before our families each and every day. But Paul also, I think, in the context here, has reference to a father's words. A father will speak words that will exhort his children, that will comfort his children, and will charge his children. And it is important for you and me as Christian fathers to communicate with each member of the family. It is said that communication is a must. It is essential for everything that we come in contact with in this life. It is a bridge for progress in life as well as for in the home. It is an avenue for success in every facet of life, but also then whenever it comes to the home. It is a channel for problem solving as well as for encouraging one another to great things throughout life, but also when it comes to spiritual life with our God. And we need to plug in to this avenue of communication that God has granted us, that God has blessed us with, so that we speak with our wives, so that we also speak ongoing with every member of the family, with every child that we are blessed to have in our presence. But also, whenever it comes to our words, I think that Christian fathers, we need to understand the importance of choosing words that lead unto edification. We need to choose words that are positive. Yes, I know that there are times that we discipline our children and we need to be stern with them. We must do that so that they understand how serious we are as we're dealing with these matters of discipline, and also so that they, in seeing how serious we are, that they might make those changes that we're calling upon them to make. But still, we need to be positive, to speak positive words with them, and to say, even maybe in the times that we're disciplining them, say, "This is not what we want. We want to encourage you. We want to express our love. We want to comfort you. We want to motivate you to live in a godly way." And we need to do what we can to speak positive words and profitable words on a continual basis before our family. But also, we need to speak words that are persuasive, to persuade them that it's essential that putting God first and above anyone or anything else is what this life is really and truly all about. And that if they put God first, as what we're striving to do, then that they will not only please God, but they will be on their way to success in this life. Maybe not that they will have all kinds of money or material things. And if they've been taught right and if they come to believe properly, they will soon come to that understanding. But rather that God will bless them, especially eternally, because of their love and devotion or commitment to Him. As fathers, we need to speak words that will bring forth growth. We need to offer words that exhort and comfort and charge. And that word charge in the original language means to challenge them. We don't want our children to stay as babes, amen? We want them to grow. We want them to mature. We want them to be productive in life. And we want them to be positive citizens in the kingdom of God. And therefore, we need to challenge them with greater ways of thinking. We need to challenge them with greater ways also of living, and to challenge them with greater ways of applying the standards of God through their life. And as we challenge them, then this word also, charge, has and carries with it that we motivate them to do great things and to live right. To live right before the world, but to live right before God. And in living right before God, then by all means, we will not be wrong in the ways in which we deal with the world. A father, a Christian father, uses his life as a testimony before his children each and every day. He might use his faults. And fathers, there's nothing wrong with admitting to our children that we're not perfect, that we were not the perfect little children. We didn't walk around with a halo over our head. And we realize that they also will not walk around with a halo on their head. We're not expecting that. That we have things that we've done, that we've said, and disappointments that we've caused to others within our lifetime. And there's nothing at all wrong with admitting to our children and saying, listen, I've been where you are. I've been what it is that you're thinking. I know what it is that you're experiencing with peer pressure and things of that nature. We need to teach them. We need to testify before them, if you would, through our life, through our faults, but also use these things as a lesson to say, here's why I'm sharing this with you. But also, we need to share with them the positive aspects of our life and the commitment that we do have for the Lord and why we left those former things behind and we've gone on to a new and better life that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we need to share our success stories. Not only how we've been able to be successful in this life, but the success that we hope to be able to gain, to be able to stand before our God someday in judgment, to hear Him say unto us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Fathers, what a beautiful blessing God has given us to be able to be a father here in this world, to have children to love and to be loved by them. And let's do all that we can to work in a way before them that we will provide for them, but also to work in a way that we will lead them in the way of God. Let's walk worthy of the calling so that whenever we stand before God, we will be found as His faithful, but let's walk as an example for our children that they might also then understand the importance of walking in the path that God has for us. And let's use words to communicate to them that will express our love and concern on an ongoing basis. Let's use words that will challenge and motivate them to live faithful before God throughout the course of their life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God. Our Heavenly Father is the greatest Father of all. He is an example of what a true Father is really and truly all about. And He looks to us when we have sin in our life and cannot have a relationship with us. But He does not want that. He wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants us to be His children. He wants to be our God. He wants to be identified as our Father. But yet at the same time, while He's given us an avenue and an opportunity, He lays the burden of responsibility off on us to embrace Him, to become a part of His children, to become a part of His family. How? Through the new birth by being born again through Jesus Christ our Lord. So tonight, if you're here and you've never been baptized into Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.